Hey, guys.
Hey, Laurel.
Hey, Laurel.
Hey, so I got you guys some holiday gifts.
Aw,
thank you.
You shouldn't have.
You're welcome.
So, what are they?
Well, basically what I did was I wrapped up the week's biggest news stories into entertaining little segments.
That's nice and all, but that's kind of what we do every week. So, what's holiday about this podcast?
Good point. That's why I brought Coco.
Okay.
Right. Works.
This is the WBR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, a wrap-up of the week's news.
Am I going to open mine first, or you open yours next?
We should go by age.
Oldest first, or
how do you do it? We usually do youngest first, yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
That's me.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead, John.
All right. What do we got here? Oh, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald talks to the media.
Oh, my gosh. Where did you find that?
It's just what you wanted.
Those are the hottest gift this year?
Some fresh takes.
It's 2018's Tickle Me Elmo.
So,
you were there, Laurel White.
Yeah.
Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. Sometimes legislative leaders do these interviews one-on-one. He held a press conference and talked about a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So they do these kind of year-end interviews one-on-one. And basically what he did this year was invite all of the Capitol Press Corps and some other reporters to just come in, and everybody got to ask a bunch of questions. And he talked about meeting with Governor-elect Evers that morning and a little bit about what they talked about. And I think the highlights of this news conference were twofold, or two things.
Twofold sounds
twofold.
So much more impressive.
Yeah. Whether it's right or not, we'll just leave it.
It also goes, you know, folding wrapping paper around a present.
It's all about,
Good.
We're just continuing.
Always
the,
on the lookout for those puns.
Theme.
Good.
Mm-hmm. So basically the two things, he talked about whether or not Wisconsin Senate Republicans might accept the Medicaid expansion, which is something Governor-elect Evers has pushed for. And then he also talked about how Senate Republicans might weigh in on the 10% income tax proposal from the Evers campaign days.
Okay, so the Medicaid expansion, you know, Governor Walker has been firmly opposed to that. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has been firmly opposed to that. And when we talk about taking the Medicaid expansion, we are talking about expanding Medicaid, or as it's known in Wisconsin, Badger Care, to cover more people or people with slightly higher incomes. It'd be misleading to say high-income people, but people above the poverty level. And that by doing that, Wisconsin, if Wisconsin had done that, it would have taken in well over $1 billion from the federal government since Governor Walker began refusing the Medicaid expansion, let's say.
Right, which started in 2013. That was the first time he refused the expansion. And he said that he did that because you take this additional federal money now, who's to say that's not going to create more expenses for the state down the road, because the feds give you money now. Maybe they won't continue giving you money as expenses grow, et cetera. So that's kind of the back and forth. But Governor-elect Evers has said, we really need to take this money because it's going to expand coverage to more people and it's going to lower costs for everybody.
And so I would assume, given the way that Wisconsin Republicans have treated this issue, that Senator Fitzgerald would say, no, no way, we're not doing that. But what did he say?
He said that he wouldn't rule it out. He said it was kind of early to speculate about exactly how. Sort of a similar refrain that we hear from him, right? He's got to check in with the caucus.
Yeah, but on some things he doesn't have to check with the caucus. Like
he already knows,
right?
Yeah. So he wasn't closing the door on the need to check in on this. He was like, you know, it doesn't seem likely, but I'm not going to rule it out at this stage. Check back in with me, I think he said, in like February.
Didn't he say it has a lot of moving parts?
Yeah. He
like
said there, as
a
we all
robot
know,
you
as
might
we all
get
know.
As a holiday gift or something.
Yeah, or like Legos.
Mm-hmm.
They're not moving.
Those parts don't move.
You're absolutely wrong.
You move Lego parts.
Well, yeah, you can move anything, but the parts need to move independent from you.
Aren't there Lego robots?
I can move this pretend cup of cocoa that you brought us.
Hey, don't tell people I got your pretend cocoa.
Sorry, this invisible cocoa is delicious.
It makes me feel like a cheapskate.
And that feeling might be warranted. I don't know.
All anyway, right. So he said.
The other thing, though, mm-hmm. go ahead.
The tax cut, right?
Right. This was a big priority of Governor Evers toward the end of the campaign. Mm-hmm. He didn't talk about early going, certainly not during his primary, but in those closing days when Evers and Walker seemed like they were fighting over every vote, he proposed a 10% income tax cut. So Republicans might say, we're not going to give Tony Evers what he wants, or they might say
that they would be open to that, which is basically what Fitzgerald said. He was more positive about this than he was the Medicaid expansion. The Medicaid expansion, he was like, you know, it's not looking great, but he wouldn't shut the door on it. On this, he was like, yeah, you know, we're always open to doing a tax cut if that's what, you know, we can get support for. And Wisconsin's economy is doing great. Our reforms that we've put in place over the last several years have put us in a position where we feel comfortable most likely considering something like that. So he definitely left the door. I would say the door was more widely left open. Left open more widely?
Sure.
It wasn't just cracked. It was
you
like,
got it.
Hey,
don't doubt yourself here. Okay. You got this one.
So that's where we stand with that.
So those are interesting because mm-hmm. We sort of assume the way things are going in politics right now that Democrat proposes this, Republicans say no. And
right.
he said, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll think about it.
Yeah.
Anything else that that he talked about that's like not going to happen?
Some things that he definitely said no to. The one that I can think of off the top of my head was medical marijuana. That's another thing that Evers mentioned on the campaign trail. And Senator Fitzgerald said, no, no way. I don't see that happening. Just there isn't support for it in the Senate.
And a little less exciting, but he said that Republicans might work from a base budget. Meaning
I think this is super interesting,
yeah,
but Sean had to reel me in because I wanted to do like a whole, I don't know, practically a documentary about it. And Sean was like, Laurel, calm down.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just means
insider-y.
That instead of working off the governor's budget and like subtracting things that Evers wants, they would just start where things are now and build from that. You start from mm-hmm. base, build their own. It mm-hmm. does not suggest they will resolve the budget at an early time in 2019.
Because they're probably going to have pretty different budgets, right? So the budget that Republicans eventually send to Governor-elect Evers' desk is one that he, you know, might have to do some vetoing on.
Maybe. I don't know.
TBD.
Could be holiday season by the time they wrap it up. Who knows? Well,
speaking of wrapping it up, should we open the next present?
Oh, it's my turn.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Oh, thank you. Wow.
You're welcome.
Gubernatorial appointments.
And there's more to come.
Oh,
know?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah. Oh, really?
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, you got me. That's great.
Yeah, no problem.
Let's see here. What appointments are in
my
first
now.
Batch
we have,
here?
We
wow.
We have 8 appointments.
So let's see. Oh, wow. Joel Brennan, Department of Administration Secretary, the DOA, mm-hmm. The often referred to as the governor's right hand. We have Kevin Carr, Department of Corrections Secretary, Preston Cole, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources, Sarah Meany, Department of Tourism. Those were announced earlier this week.
Mm-hmm. I think that was Wednesday. Those were announced in Milwaukee.
And then we have announced Friday, Rebecca Cameron Vach for the Public Service Commission, Mark Affable?
Affable.
Mark Affable, the Commissioner of Insurance, Brad Paff, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and Craig Thompson, Department of Transportation. So some interesting names in there for a variety of reasons. You want to start with Craig Thompson? Because that seems to be getting some attention here today.
Mm-hmm. So Craig Thompson, I think, is kind of interesting because this story was initially reported yesterday night. And the first kind of comments, at least that I saw, were positive comments across the aisle about Craig Thompson, because there was former Governor Tommy Thompson had weighed in and said that he thought it was a good pick. And
just to interrupt real quick, have we said who he is?
Craig Thompson?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not.
What, you guys don't know? Come on.
He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Transportation
Development
Association.
A lot of words there.
A group that represents road builders, mm-hmm. road building unions, and local governments.
Mm-hmm.
Very much pro transportation funding, I guess. You know, increasing transportation funding. I mean, if you were doing a story about transportation funding over the past many years now, and you're a reporter in Wisconsin, you could turn to Craig Thompson for a quote about the importance of finding a long-term solution to paying for roads and how debt's not the answer, that kind of stuff. They've been out there on that the whole time. Thompson has personally. So he is now going to be, well, he's been nominated by Tony Evers to be transportation secretary. And you mentioned the initial positive feedback from Governor Thompson, probably a pro-Thompson bias there.
They are not related.
And
at least immediately or closely or that they're aware of.
So the feedback seems to have changed a little bit later today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me actually pull up the statement that we got from Senator Fitzgerald this afternoon. He said, quote, "I have serious concerns over the governor-elect appointing a provocative figure to head the Department of Transportation, who is a longtime advocate for special interests," and end quote. So what Fitzgerald was saying there, obviously that's his point, but he said, "I've heard some of this pushback as well from members of my caucus," and I'd seen a little bit of chattering about that on Twitter as well, that some of the opponents of this appointment are saying, you know, he's been a lobbyist, he's had, as Sean outlined a little bit, you know, a pretty specific point of view going into this, and that doesn't really jive. Fitzgerald mentioned this in his statement with kind of the bipartisan, hey, we're going to bring all parties to the table and we're going to entertain all ideas thing that Governor-elect Evers has been talking about.
Yeah, I don't know that you would describe Craig Thompson's personality as provocative, but he is part of a group that was at odds with Governor Walker on this issue and at odds with some members of the Senate Republican caucus on this issue, like Dewey Strobel, who seemed like he was maybe first out of the gate attacking the Thompson appointment. These are the senators who stood firm against any kind of a revenue increase for transportation in the last budget, have given every indication that that's where they're going to be at in the next budget. And they have kind of ridiculed or attacked the Just Fix It campaign that the Wisconsin TDA was behind. I don't know if Strobel has said this specifically, but opponents have referred to it as the Just Tax It campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, that's they don't want any part of that. They don't like it. And so here they are going after Thompson on day one.
So this is, I think this, it's probably safe to say this is the most market example of pushback, I think, on the appointment so far, at least for an individual. The first round of appointments got some criticism because they were all from Milwaukee.
Right.
But that was more just kind of like, these four people are all from Milwaukee and we feel like the state needs to be more widely represented.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about how you're going to hear this trend continue over the next couple of years, at least, where Democrats say Republicans have an unjust majority. They won this legislative majority on the back of a gerrymandered map, and Republicans turn around and say, Tony Evers is only the governor of Madison and Milwaukee, basically. This was right out of the gate. This was Speaker Voss's statement. I'm so greatly disappointed that his top four appointments were from Milwaukee. The state Republican Party issued a similar statement right away. Tony Evers' first four cabinet appointments all from Milwaukee. Further proof that Wisconsin Democrats are the party only of Milwaukee and Madison. So you're hearing this already.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I mean, I think it is noteworthy that Evers wanted to go to Milwaukee to make these announcements. I mean, he didn't announce from the Capitol. He was very, I guess, explicit about going to this part of the state that has supported him and saying, I'm going to make sure that you're represented in state government.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of his first stops after he won was at an event hosted by the road builders, too. So it's not like he shied away from supporting them since he's been elected.
I think an important thing to mention is that Governor-elect Evers said after that criticism, hold on, wait, I'm going to have more appointments to my cabinet, and I think that people are going to be pleased when they see that other appointments are coming from other parts of the state. But Representative John Nygren tweeted this afternoon after these next four appointments were announced, and he said, for those keeping score on cabinet appointments, four from Milwaukee, three from Madison, one from outstate. So sounds like Republicans still aren't incredibly pleased with the makeup of the Evers cabinet so far.
Is it all that surprising, though, that one party would criticize the appointments made by somebody from the other party? I mean, if you look historically, like, did Walker's appointments get criticized for things when he was making them?
It's not all that unusual, of course. And I guess the appointment that sticks out in my mind from Walker was he appointed Kathy Stepp to be the NR secretary. That was one of his first appointments and was considered by some Democrats to be a real, you know, poke in the eye because Kathy Stepp did not have a background in natural resources. She had a background in home building, you know, developing, and she'd been an adversary of the DNR. So, yeah, that got a lot of pushback 8 years ago. But the difference is Democrats were not in a position to do anything about it, and Republicans run the state Senate and are in a position to confirm or reject the confirmation of Evers' appointees. All right, Laurel. Thank you for these presents. This
You're
is
so
really
welcome.
Heartwarming, and this pretend cocoa is just so delicious.
Again, calling out my pretend
delicious.
Cocoa. So rude. It's,
you know these what it imaginary is? Marshmallows just melt in your mouth.
It's kind of dry, you know? I think that's
and now
the
you're
I'm
criticizing
for.
My pretend cocoa.
Some people
Jeez.
Like dry as a flavor.
But don't worry cocoa. About it. All this is leading up to say that we got you a news story nicely wrapped up. Too.
Oh, yeah. Guys.
I mean, this one's for you. Like,
thank
I think
you.
We know you.
Yeah, okay. Let's see what we got here. Oh, man, guys, this is awesome. You do know me. It's the motion that was filed in federal court this week in the voter ID election law case.
Mm-hmm.
You covered that case a couple years ago, and it was kind of like a big deal to you at the time.
A lot of hours in the courtroom.
Spent all those hours in that federal courthouse, and you got to know the people involved and the issues, and it just seems like...
I built up quite the rapport with the security guys that work at the federal courthouse.
They probably miss you.
Yeah.
So... there's going to be potentially that case is going to be potentially revived because the parties that were involved in the first go round are not happy with a law that Governor Scott Walker just signed that would restrict early voting in Wisconsin in ways that are very similar to restrictions struck down by Judge James Peterson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Good summary, Sean.
All right. This has been the podcast. Good night, everybody.
No, I mean, you mentioned that it would revive the case. The case isn't officially dead,
that's
right?
True.
It's just kind of it's sitting at the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals.
Which is very unusual.
Yeah. But what happened this week is this it's not a new case. It's just a new motion in this existing case that brings up this new law, as Sean said. And what the plaintiffs are arguing, it's One Wisconsin Now or One Wisconsin Institute, Citizen Action, and now the redistricting organization that's headed by Eric Holder, former Attorney General Eric Holder from the Obama administration. And they're all saying, hey, Republicans in Wisconsin just passed and signed this new law that's very, very similar to the one that you struck down in this case in 2016. We're filing a motion for you to just go ahead and say, like, halt this law right now. It's kind of its own like little freestanding thing that wouldn't involve any additional arguments or anything like that. It's basically them just saying, hey, we think this isn't a cool thing. Judge, do you agree that this is in violation of your previous ruling? So we don't know how long it's going to take for the judge to get back to us on that.
You alluded to it there, but the original case is still before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, which is highly unusual. They had oral arguments in this case in February of 2017, and I don't know why that initial appeal has not been decided. I went back and listened to arguments in that case because why not? Yeah. And the three-judge panel for that case, all nominated by Republican presidents, were very skeptical of Peterson's ruling. I mean, just so obviously skeptical during arguments, and yet they have not issued a ruling in going on 2 years since they had arguments. I don't quite understand why, and I get the sense maybe this extraordinary session law, this revision, is designed to address that in some way, but I don't know how.
It's interesting because so what was heard or what body heard that argument for the Seventh Circuit before was that three-judge panel. So once they do rule, it can be appealed to the full Seventh Circuit. So it still has some time in that particular level of the legal, I want to say pantheon. Is that even a correct use of that? I don't know.
That sounds smart.
Universe? Whatever.
Yeah, the legal universe.
Yeah.
You can't be wrong then.
Yeah, that's very expansive. So it still has some time there at the Seventh Circuit, even after the three-judge panel rules. And then after that, of course, it could keep going into further appeals, appeal land and courts.
I mean, it would be the Supreme Court.
Right. Yes, that's the next level of the pantheon universe.
Right. All right. It's a very complicated gift we've given you.
Thank you. I enjoy it, though.
All right, good. Yeah.
Has many parts, like a Lego set.
Right.
But they don't move.
I still contend that some Legos move.
Yep.
Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Because you deserve it, give yourself a little present almost every single week when you subscribe for new episodes of the WPR Politics podcast on iTunes. You can also find it on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.